I welcome you to the Bhaktis. Honored, grateful, and happy to have this chance to be with you. This temple, which is dedicated to Radha Murugan, Krishna, Sri Radha, who have appeared in these beautiful forms, were originally brought to us, let us say, appeared in this world by Srila Prabhupada, our Guru himself. He installed them, he named them in 1974. So this is 40-year anniversary. They appeared in Cleveland, Ohio. And in a very rough, beaten down neighborhood of Cleveland, Ohio. In fact, Tana Bini Devi, she lived there at that time. It was an area of a lot of poverty. And due to poverty, racial discrimination, people were beaten down. And it was a very difficult place to live. I asked Radha Murugan to appear in that. Today is a lotus festival. But the concept of a lotus flower very much can be applied to their appearance in this world. In the Sanskrit poetry and the Vedic literatures, and throughout the world, actually, historically, there's a special analogy that is applied to the lotus. It is the most beautiful flower, the most fragrant flower in all of the world. And oftentimes it grows in very muddy, polluted could be a pond of water that is very muddy. When the lotus flower grows from it, the leaf and the flower spread such beauty and fragrance in that place and are untouched by the water itself. If you ever take a lotus leaf and pour water on it, it actually forms in a ball and just rolls around. And as soon as it can, it just rolls right off the leaf. And if you try to keep it on the leaf, you're going like, and the ball's rolling around and flies off. And there's not a trace that the water has ever been there. It never gets wet. So in the same way, when the Supreme Lord appears within this world, he always remains completely pure for the purpose of inviting us into a life of purity. Whatever corruption, exploitation, pollution may be in the world, the Lord is never affected. Like a lotus flower in a muddy pond. And similarly, when the roots of our hearts are firmly fixed in the grace of Krishna, who we call God, then by that power of that grace, we can also become like lotus flowers. The The Bible says to be in this world but not of this world. That means to be very much involved, perhaps as an activist, dynamic, maybe in family, like we have our Shesha Prabhu. Shesha Prabhu is singing much like a lotus. He is a lawyer by profession. Yet he's completely pure, ethical, moral, and loves God and does everything he performs. He practices law in a spirit of total compassion. That's quite... lotus-like. Get involved in all kinds of politics and stuff like that. But he never gets pulled into the greed, the corruption, or the selfishness, or the arrogance that he subjects. And we have a new Dhammapada and a meeting day. They have retail shops. They do business. They buy and they sell. They have stores. That's good business. You know, especially here in New York, you know what kind of vulnerabilities there are morally for business. But yet, although they really work hard and they really struggle and they compete and they challenge because they have to survive in the business. Compassion, the profits they make, they really use it for the welfare of all humanity all over the world. They are more motivated to succeed in their business than ordinary people. The reason is love and compassion is a more powerful driving force than greed and selfishness. Some people just want to want more and more to acquire more power, more position, more land, more property, bigger bank balance, and they're really motivated. However much you get, the Bhagavad Gita explains, when it's motivated by greed or karma, loha, it's like fire. The more you feed it, the hungrier it becomes. You can't satisfy greed in that position. Vishayadani Bhartante Niraharasi Devina Rasta Parajana Sokasya Parandrasa. You can only satisfy greed and lust and envy and all of these things by experiencing something higher. And what is that highest thing? To connect with Krishna or Vaishnavas. To be motivated by compassion. And that's what these two people do. They do their business for everyone's welfare, their family and all society. They're lotus-like business people. And there are so many other wonderful people out in the audience today that I can speak about. But then my time limit will be expired. I don't reach to it anyway, but I'm here. I'd like to go into Prabhu and Janaki Devi. They just said, baby. We're having babies. But they brought it. I know them for years. And they say, why don't you have a baby? And they never say yes or no. They were just preparing themselves so that when the time comes that they're going to have a baby, they're going to give their baby something wonderful, an atmosphere of so much devotion and so much love and so much spiritual culture, as well as physical and mental stability. Because you're for the government, yes? He works for the government. And she works for the government too, yes? He works for the government. And she works for a life insurance company. But still they're mortified. Because they have no arrogance or envy or selfishness. They're not affected by all the corruptions of this world. Because their roots are very deep. In God's grace. And Krishna appears within this world just to invite us into that state. Our natural state. A state where we're liberated from all of the inner and outer pollutions of the world. Where we're actually active to make positive solutions to God. Individually and collectively. We're being agents of compassion, of love, God's love. But how do we do that? Bhagavad Gita tells Yadayadati Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhintanala Karmasya Tadatmanam Sarjanya. That again and again throughout the ages, historically, when there's decline in true spiritual principles and rise in all sorts of selfishness, greed, irreligion, where irreligion is taken to be religion, religion is taken to be irreligion, the Lord has descended. This is something that really moved me when I was young. I was looking to find a change in myself and so that I could help be a change in other people's lives. In a small way or a big way, it doesn't matter, but I wanted to live for that. I tried it through political activism, social activism, like so many other ways. 1960s that people tried to make change. But I came to the conclusion that the real problems in the world are due to a spiritual crisis. As Emerson said, human society lies in heaps of corruption and immorality and dissatisfaction because we are disconnected from ourselves. Who am I? That's a spiritual question. I'm not this body. I'm in my body. When we really understand that, we can understand how nobody else is their body either. They are all in their body. But what is it that's in that body? Who is it? A part of God. Child of God, a person who is eternal, full of knowledge and full of natural happiness, such an Ananda. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. But by the allurements of so many misconceptions in this world, we forget that. And we're struggling to find happiness in all these distractions. So the Lord, the supreme object of all love, the supreme mother, father, and friend of all beings, descends into this world and has established all the great religions of the world to share with us what Sanskrit calls Sanatana Dharma, our eternal nature. truth that is the essence of everything that we're seeking. That we are all divine beings. We are all instruments of God's love, protection. To share that love. To see the equality in all beings on that spiritual level is anandamurti kartikam. It's the happiness that we're all seeking. So Krishna appeared about 5,000 years ago. And he not only spoke the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all the great scriptures of the world. It teaches us how to actually realize who I am. And what is the real happiness, the love that is within me. But Krishna also appeared in such an extraordinary way and performed lila or pastimes to attract our hearts, to awaken that natural love that's within us. Janma karma chaletiyam evam yogetitam yatva deham punar janma naiti mameti sojna. Is that on all the way? It's hard enough to stay away from my classes. Incentive to keep it away. One who understands the transcendental, pure spiritual nature of the supreme lords of appearance and activities in this world will never have to suffer again. Will never have to take birth and death again in this world, because we realize our immortal self. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful context that explains how Krishna appeared within this world. It's a wonderful story, but I'm going to focus just on the principles of it. Sunday morning, we're celebrating Janmashtami again, and we're speaking more elaborate. The context is there's a king named Parikshit, and he has gotten the news that he will die in 7 days. He's an emperor who has incredible wealth, incredible popularity and power. He could do anything he wants in 7 days. I remember years ago when I was a little boy, there was a television show. I think the person was a doctor. He was a very wealthy man. And he was told that he was going to die in 1 year. So he wanted to get the most enjoyment out of life in that 1 year. The name of the show was Run for Your Life. Do you remember that? It was a weekly show. One week, he's scuba diving with a beautiful lady in the Caribbean. The next week he's skydiving with a beautiful lady in the Swiss Alps. The next week he's skiing with a beautiful lady. He's going through all these adventures, and everybody really, yes, if I have to die, I want to just enjoy like that. And it became such a popular show that at the end of the season, the sponsors really wanted it to continue. So they extended his life. As long as the ratings were high, he didn't die. Because people were really attracted to this. If I have to die, like, that's the way I want to go. In Barisha, he had facilities far more than anyone. But when the time came, he understood what the purpose of life is. Why should we just hold on to things that are going to be ripped away from us anyway, today or tomorrow? He went to the bank of the Ganges River. And entered into an assembly of great sages, rishis, and yogis, and said, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to sleep, I simply want to hear about Krishna. He said, please tell me, what is the essence of all the scriptures of the world? What is the most important duty for every human being? And what is the prime duty of a person about to die? And Sukadeva Goswami, who was chosen to speak, he began to describe so many of the various avatars or descents of the Lord that have manifested in this world throughout history. He explained the science of creation, how this material world works, what is the nature of the ego, that misconceived identity that gets us entangled in so many energies all around us, to forget our true self. He explained all of this in such incredible precision and devotion and compassion. And then he came to the culmination of when Krishna, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, appeared within this world to reveal the most intimate, loving, confidential secrets of the spiritual world, and his activities and his relationships. And as it was beginning, Parikshit Maharaj, he said that even though many days has passed and I haven't eaten or drunk anything, I'm not hungry because I'm drinking in the nectar of the constant flowing river Ganges of these sweet narrations of Krishna. They were awakening his soul. They were giving him the ultimate satisfaction. Sukadeva Goswami was so inspired by that revelation, he started the next story. The story is something we can really relate to in the current events that are happening in the world today. Mother Earth felt herself to be so much plundered, exploited. And you see, from Mother Earth's perspective, everyone is her children. In a family, a mother and father, a real good mother and father, loves all their children. I know mothers and fathers whose children are really born with total incapacitated condition. They have to live their entire life totally dependent on their parents. One such mother, I remember, she said to me that when I'm with other mothers, they speak about their children's first words and their first steps and how they're praying. She said, from the birth of my child, I knew I would never see that day. My child will never speak a word, will never walk. But the love she has for that child, she's there for that child 24 hours a day. And she has other children too, who are really fine. And she loves them all equal. That's the nature of a mother. Even my mother, I remember when she said, hey, it's a very diversified family. One brother is a businessman. He followed in the footsteps of her father. The other is a musician. He's just like into art and music and poetry and, trying to make a living like that's not easy. And the other is a swami. Dresses very different. Looks on the other side of the world and has not been. But the interesting thing is the three sons were best friends. For two reasons. One is, he had nothing to fight about. Because we had nothing in common. None of them aren't what a swami has. The musician doesn't want to be the businessman. And the businessman definitely doesn't want to be a swami. So we just come together as friends. But there's another reason. Because our mother and father just loved us all and treated us all so equally. That really made an impression on us. So my mother would sometimes tell me, I love all my sons equally. She always wanted daughters, but her karma didn't fulfill that desire. She said, I love all my sons equally, but still, it's really interesting what you do. Every children, they do what everyone else does, but it's really interesting. So that's the way a mother is. She loves all of her children. Mother Earth loves all her children. Whether we're black or white or red or yellow or brown or Hindu or Muslim or Jain or Jew or Christian or Sikh or Zoroastrian or agnostic or atheist or rich or poor, whether we are from the east or the west, rich or poor, whether we're from human or dog or cat or elephant or tree, wherever there's life, there's a child of God. The mother nature is an expansion of the feminine aspect of God. When we exploit her children, when we exploit her resources, we're only hurting ourselves. And a mother is not hurt because she's hurt in this sense. She's hurt because she's seeing how we're hurting each other. So Mother Earth took the form of a cow. Find a cow. Sometimes people have all kinds of misconceptions about the indigo. Sometimes I talk to people. I live in India. I say, oh, I heard they worship cows there. And if you go to Indian cities, it's interesting. Sometimes you'll see cows just walking around the city. Of course, also there's goats and buffaloes and dogs and cats. But there's a special place for a cow. Because a cow is completely dependent on human compassion. Wolves and lions and snakes and even dogs when they're in the wild, you know, they're survivors. And a cow is completely dependent on human compassion. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, our guru, quoting from the great saints, he would say that the barometer of the spiritual condition of a society is how they treat the cows. Like a mother, they're giving milk, and they just eat a little grass. Are we compassionate? Are we kind? So Mother Earth took the form of a cow, a completely helpless, who needs compassion, and approached Brahma. Brahma is a deva, one of the great personalities of the universe. And he went and got other demigods like Shiva and Indra, and they all went together to offer their prayers to the supreme cause of all causes. That one God that has many names, that appears in many places. And they offer their prayers. And Brahma, who is like the guru for all of them, on behalf of Mother Cow, is meditating and praying for God's grace. And then, through him, a message came from Krishna that I understand the plight of Mother Earth. I understand all the bloodshed of her children. How they're fighting. Fighting over religion. Fighting over race. Fighting over proprietorship of land. Fighting over money. Fighting over ego. So much ego. And due to that greed and arrogance and envy that they have for one another, in today's world, also polluting the resources. The medical association, I was told by very high sources, the way we're treating the earth today, it's so polluted, one half of all males will get cancer sometime or another. Of the people living today, and one third of all females. What are we doing to each other? She was praying for the intervention of a higher power. The recovery programs. When we realize we're helpless due to addictions of various sorts, we understand we need the intervention of a higher power in our life. So Krishna spoke to Brahma, said, I know the condition. I will descend into the world. Beautiful story of how in the field we will discuss this. But this lotus festival, we are we have come together with this gratitude to reciprocate for this intervention of God's grace, who has appeared to attract our hearts to love Him and love each other forever. That's what an avatar is. And Krishna, the origin of all avatars. So beautiful. So sweet. The avatar, the Lord, who descended to this world to show that the greatest power is not might of creation, maintenance, and destruction, which God has. The greatest power is the sweetness and the intimacy of personal love. In the beautiful incarnation of Krishna in this world, He showed how He could infinitely personally love each and every living being and reciprocate. That is the greatness of God. And that's what He's calling us, to taste the sweetness of that love, to share it in whatever we do. And in doing so, especially Kalikale Namarupe Krishna avatar, that Krishna, He appeared in this world, and when He appeared in this world, He established that He's forever with us in the divine sounds of the holy name. These mantras, these kirtans, when we chant, we are actually connecting with God. We're connecting with the divine sweet grace, the absolute truth. It purifies us. It empowers us. Wherein we also could be like the lotuses. And we can sing like you, Lord. We can spread compassion, love, grace. In whatever we do, whether we're in business, whether we're in law, whether we're in politics, whether we're mothers and fathers, believe it or not, even if we're little swamis, we all have our place and our roles to play. And today, this aspiration we have to connect with God's grace with gratitude is being offered in the form of the lotus.